now listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Got the co-host, Car Wash Kenny, a.k.a. CW. What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? I'm eating some egg rolls and your green burrito and listening to these jackasses drag race up and down the highway.
So it's been a little while since we last talked on air. I think we last talked about a week ago.
Yeah.
And I know a lot has transpired and gone down in that week, from everything from you getting kicked out of the park that you normally stay at to having your bike stolen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's start from the beginning, man. First off, temperatures have dropped out here in Arizona, so it's not so hot in the daytime anymore. At least I kind of noticed that today.
Yeah.
So what happened, man? What happened over there at the park that, the couple of nights that we were out podcasting, one of the nights a park ranger pulled up on you. The next night, or a couple of nights later, the police pulled up on you. Now you're out of the park. What happened, man?
You're not allowed to be in the park from the hours of 11 p.m. until 5 a.m. And they didn't have any signs posted. So I didn't see any signs posted, so I just figured, hell, it's a plug. I can charge my phone, watch a movie, and you smoking, man, or what?
Sound like me. No, not smoking over here.
I get it.
Yeah.
No, man, there were no signs posted, so the night we were podcasting, I figured, hell, place I can charge my phone and sleep, and like traffic out here, man. There's nobody here, so seems like a good place to stay. And then, by golly, next thing you know, Castle Grand police start pulling up on you, and like, you know, you're not supposed to be here. Okay, there's no signs posted that says I can't be here. I'll be goddamn, I got a ticket for a court date, which I called today for, and it went from this coming Monday backdated to November 15th.
What?
Because I called because I still got the ticket, but just to make sure and find the location of where the courthouse was, they told me, well, your court date's been backed up to November 15th. Oh, okay, great. So you're going to strand me out. All right, no problem. Just as long as I know, you know, so that way I don't, I don't get busted for just minding my damn business sitting somewhere. And they pull up, oh, you got a warrant here. Oh, shit. Okay. I don't want any warrants, so.
That's in Arizona. You have a warrant?
No. I got warrants in Arizona, but I got one in Tucson. But the way it works in Arizona is, say I got a warrant in Tucson, I get stopped by the cops here in Casa Grande, and they run my name and everything. And they tell me, well, you know, you got a warrant in Tucson. Yeah, I know. But the way Tucson or the way Arizona works, according to their laws, that, okay, so I got a warrant in Tucson, but Tucson don't really give a shit. They're not going to come get you. So, okay, what the fuck you bother writing me the ticket for anyway? I don't get it.
So they wrote you a ticket and then they postponed your court date so that
Oh,
you know, maybe when they usually do that, they probably just gonna end up throwing it out anyways. So,
well, a lot of times. The warrant I had was in Tucson was for, I don't know, some dumb shit, panhandling or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's like a community crime.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then did you get in a fight as well?
Yesterday morning, yeah. Well, a couple mornings ago. Yeah, I got in a fight.
What happened with that?
Well, these folks out here like to move the benches around. So, hey, they moved the benches around, and one was sitting next to the plug. So I could sit on the bench and, you know, watch TV and all that kind of shit. And these folks came running across, and they asked me, like, is it okay if I sit down here next to you? And I was like, I'd really rather not have you. Well, it's a public park. I can sit where I want. Okay, I agree with that, but it's a park. There's a picnic table over there. There's a bench over there. It's a big park, man. You can go sit where you want, but just please don't sit around me. I'm by myself. I'd like to stay that way. Oh, shit, they got in a fight. Well, they got pissed off. This lady started telling me, you're a white man. You stole my land. No, ma'am, I did not. Well, you're a white man. You stole my land. No, ma'am, I didn't steal your land. I didn't come over here on a ship and steal your land. I might be a white man, but I'm not the one that stole your fucking land, okay? I was just born on it. And, man, she got pissed off. So it's like, okay, well, she left and went and sat in another picnic table. And her and this big-ass dude who had just walked up to me with his big old red lip sticking out like he'd been smoking meth all friggin' night. Wanted to shake my hand. I was like, no, dude, don't touch me, man. You know, COVID, dude, keep your distance. He got pissed off. Well, come find out, the lady and the girl came walking back over, and they're like, this ain't your part. Ma'am, it's everybody's part. It's a public park. Well, you can't be here. Why not? Well, you don't pay taxes. I believe I do. I tried to be as civil as I could with the lady, but they kept pushing and pushing. So it was time to get up and, you know, okay, man, what's going to happen? And this dude's like all bulking up, like, you know, like he was ready to start some shit. And, hey, there is one spot behind your ear where I told you the other day, the jugular vein goes up behind your ear.
Yeah.
If you crack that vein like twice, like bang, bang, really quick, you basically cut blood circulation from going into your brain. And I'd had to do it before, man. I cracked him like two or three times as fast as I could, right behind his ear, and his eyeballs rolled back in his head, and he dropped to the ground. I was like, and then the lady got up in my face, you stole my land. Okay, well, you know, take your friend and, you know, get him away from me. I don't want to be around him anymore. You know, it's just like, it's a park, man. It's a really big fucking place. Why do you want to sit next to me? I don't want you around me.
Yeah.
So go sit somewhere else and we're fine. But now you got to come to me and want to invade my space. Come on now.
And then your bike got stolen?
No, my bike got stolen the day before, a couple of days before, I guess. Because I usually, when I go to the store, I kind of survey the terrain and kind of see who's out and about. And, you know, well, you get to know the people. You know the people from Pier Park. You know what they do. Damn it. And, I just kind of sat out there and waited before I walked into the store. And I thought everything was okay. I went into the store, got my product, and I came back out, and my bike and everything was gone. And left behind was a piece of crap, 24-inch or 20-inch BMX bicycle. I was like, shit. So I was going to sit out there and wait for this dude to come back and get his 20-inch bike. I was going to crack his ass and you know, just grab him and take him to the ground and hold on to him until somebody called the cops and wait for the law to show up. But I did go in and talk to the guy at the store, and they had him on video. And, you know, I made a report. The cops came out and everything, but that bike's gone, man. I'm not going to get it back, dude. $800. Yeah. $800 in 2 months gone. So it's just like, oh. Make America great again. Again? What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, yeah, my bike's gone.
So you don't have no faith that in a small town you're going to see that bike rolling down the street? Maybe around the same liquor store that you took it from?
Well, I have noticed this one person riding around with a bike that might look like mine. The only way I can truly know that it's mine is because on my bicycle that I had, that I sent you the picture of, mm-hmm. All the brake cables run in through the frame. It's not like a bike you buy from Walmart where, you know, you got those little loops and the bike, you know, cables run, you know, you can see them. This bike was a clean ass bike, man. And I'll know my bike because let's just say I'm out at the park and I see a bike that looks like mine. I'll know it's mine because I got the only bike in town where the brake cables, the derailleur cables, they all run through the frame and they come out in their respective places. And I mean, you can change the seat, you can put a reflector on the back of it, but I'll know my bike when I see it. And I think I've seen it around. And I just haven't had the opportunity to, you know, act like I'm going to take a piss and walk past the bike and see that it's mine. And the hell with calling the cops, man. I'm taking it. It's mine. Because it only had one reflector on the back wheel. The other one on the front didn't have a reflector on it. And there was some kind of weird thing attached to one of my spokes on the front wheel that isn't on any other bike in town. So it'll come to me. If not, hey, whatever. I ain't worried about it. It's a bike. They come and they go. It just
sucks.
The first
time you had a bike stolen from you?
No, fuck no, man. No. I lived in Elkhorn. Not Elkhorn. What the hell is the town? Old Town, California. It's a little bit north of San Diego. I told you about it before.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 30 days to learn the people that, you know, live in the riverbed. And then I got a spot in the riverbed. And God bless the full moon, man, because I get flooded out. I have to sleep up on the bike path. But in the course of 10 months, I had one bike stolen a month.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had some pretty good bikes?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. The one that just got stolen from me was, it was called a Klein, Pulse 2. I've never seen a bike like that before. It was a really nice bike. It was a 24 speed and, you know, outfitted it. Well, you saw the picture. I outfitted it with the loft and water bottles because I was planning on riding it, you know, back to Yuma, and then I got to Casa Grande and it was like, okay, screw Yuma. Casa Grande's just like Yuma. It's a little small town. It's hot. When the winter comes, you know, it gets a little chilly, but it's okay. I'll make it. But I know that bike, so there's some little chubby, I don't know. Damn, how do I say this without sounding racist? I don't know if she's Native American or if she's an Indian. But she rides around with this little old fellow with a BMX bike. Purple rims on it, and they hang out together. I see the bike, and I'm just like, in the alleyway. In the back where I sleep at here. Sometimes I hang out back there. So I went back around there. Oh, shit. And, you know, see if maybe they were back there, just kind of walk by the bike and act like I was taking a pee. But they were gone. So. It's okay. I'm having, same as before, man. When a bike gets stolen and you kind of, you know, get used to it, you think you see it everywhere. The bike's just gone. So,
yeah.
Get over it and start over, but it's not going to keep me from looking.
I hear you. Man, that sucks, man. That sucks. That sounds like a pretty crappy week, but... You know, after every storm, there's a rainbow, man. So, they'll come.
Damn, I smoked too much. Excuse me. Man. I don't know. I'm not going to worry about myself about it, but... I mean, I really don't go too far anyway. With my health issues, you know, there are just some mornings I can't ride the bike, and you know, I'll walk it, but it was mine. I paid for it. It had my sleeping bag and everything on it, and you know, it carried my water, and you know, she was my horse, man, and I took care of it, and. But oh well. That's the way of the world, man. There are thieves on this planet, and you know, good guys finish last, I guess.
Karma's a motherfucker.
Well, I guess that's what you got to count on, and hope that those people get, you know, what they got coming to them. There's nothing I can do about it. So, yeah. other than hope I catch the SOB that's got it, but I'm not gonna.
You don't got no faith that the police might. Come across them. Did you get the? Did you provide the police pictures?
Yep. As a matter of fact, I was gonna send you a text message and thank you for asking me to take pictures of the area that I'm in, because the first picture I sent you was a picture of my bike, and when I called the police out, I showed them a picture of the bike. The only thing I didn't do was flip the bike over and
get the serial number.
Yeah, it's on the on the bottom, and I didn't do that. I had the I had the receipt where I bought the bike, but riding it from Tucson to Casa Grande, I got caught in the rain, and everything in my wallet got soaking wet, and it ruined the receipt. Now, I have tried to call the Pima Street Bicycle Shop, because when I bought the bike, they recorded the serial number on the bike. So I got to wait because of the holiday. I'm going to try and call them back and see if they remember me and if they can give me the serial number on the bike. But I got no faith in the police department that they're really looking for it. They'll tell you they're looking for it, but I really don't think they are. It's a stolen bike and you're homeless. What do they care?
Yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? The world works in mysterious ways, and sometimes, you know, if you're stealing out there stealing bikes, you're probably out there stealing other things, and, you know, maybe they'll catch them doing something else, and your bike will just be right there in the mix, and they somehow will be able to link it to you.
Well,
it's a small town, man. Who knows?
Well, I talked to him twice, and I've actually talked to the same officer twice, and they keep reassuring me that they're looking for it.
You should ask them if they have confiscated any bikes, and if you can go, and there's any bikes that have been turned in that you're able to go look at, you know. Or you should ask if they auction off any bikes that are just left, you know, that they... I'm pretty sure the same way there's like a repo for cars and shit, I'm pretty sure there's like a bike repo.
Man, honestly, you know what? Excuse me. It's just easier to go buy a new bike and then go find a, you know, go buy a lock for it and lock it up everywhere you go. But, you know, there are places that, you know, you go to, they don't have any place to lock a bike up at. Matter of fact, over here at the library, there's a fellow that I guess he locked his bike up, and I've had this happen to me before. Locked his bike up at the bike rack. Somebody came along and just stole the back wheel off of his bicycle. So now you got a bike with, I'll take a picture of it. Yeah, I'll take a picture of it for you tomorrow. But it sat there for like 2 weeks with no back wheel and a front wheel on it. Now, the only thing that's left of that bicycle is the frame locked up to the bike rack. So, it doesn't matter if you lock the bike up. Because I had it happen to me before when I was in, it was a little town in California up north of Oceanside. And I went into the Fry's and, you know, bought me something to eat. And I came back out and the back wheel was gone.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what the fuck, man?
See, when I was out there biking, I would always have a U-lock and a rope, I forgot what it's called, but it's the lock ropes that has the two eyelets at the end.
Yeah.
And I would run it through the back tire.
Yeah.
And tie it into each other, because you know how they have the holes on each end, so you're able to polymer knot, tie it and shit. So I would, yeah. I would then tie it back to the U-lock that was tied to the frame.
Well, I kind of come to realize that.
But anybody can get stolen. It don't matter what the situation is. Like, anybody can get stolen.
Yeah, but why? It's mine. Why do you want my bike for it? For some dope? Man, go buy your own freaking dope, man. Go panhandle or something. Why you gotta steal my shit? You know, it's like, thou shalt not steal. Okay, we can take that commandment out of the 10.
Well, it's just for those people. They'll get judged. They'll get judged at the end, and that's gonna pop up.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't have much faith in that either, but we won't get into that.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, I don't know. Just like I told you before, man, people demand the one thing that they don't want to give, and that's respect.
That's it, man.
They want it, but they won't give it. So, I got to a point of thinking where, like, if I get another bite, I'm going to go buy 3 U-locks. One to lock it to a pole, one to lock my back wheel to the frame, and another one to lock the front wheel to the frame. It's
you need one of those cable locks, the cable locks, and you tie them into the U-lock. That's what I used to do. I used to, because at the end of them, they had those two holes at the end that you're able to.
Yeah.
You put it around the tire, and then you go and you loop it into each other, and then you pull it so that it ties it, like hind ties the back tire to itself, and then you run it through your frame and back to your U-lock.
Yeah,
They're pretty nice. I used to have that. I used to run that on my bike, and I used to run inside stores all the time. And you know, you come to that point where you can't lock it to anything, then. Shit, yeah, but you know, lock it to that, and then you'll have to throw it in the back of a pickup to sell it. So,
yeah, you know how many meth heads got, what the hell they call them? Cable cutters?
Yeah.
That cable lock ain't worth a shit. You're going to spend like $60 for it. But if you got a serious frigging meth head on the road that's stealing bikes to make his dope or his money. That fool's carrying a pair of cable cutters in his backpack, and that cable don't mean shit. He's going to cut it, steal your bike, and throw it up on his shoulder. Because
you better be quick.
In Yuma, I was trying to get a job at the Del Sol, so I started going out and grabbing shopping carts and, you know, push them up so people didn't have to walk out and get them. And I had my bike sitting up there. There was no place to lock it, so kind of basically what I did was I ran my U-lock through my rear tire and my frame, locked it up. I'll be goddamn, this dude pulled up and he picked the bike up and put it on his shoulder. I had to chase the guy down and grab the rear rim, you know, of my bicycle, and, you know, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, it looked like a bike that belonged to a friend of mine. Man, you're full of shit, dude. This is my bike. I paid for it from Mr. V's down the road here, okay? This is my bicycle, and you're trying to fucking steal it. Well, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. Drop the bike and find out, bitch. You know? And he was like, oh, okay, well, you know, here you go. You can have your bike back. I was like, yeah, thanks a lot. Like, you're doing me a favor, giving me back my bike that you just tried to steal. I didn't try to steal it. All right, man, look, just give me back my bike, and we're good. Never did get a job at the Del Sol. That sucked. Because I was trying to show that I had the incentive. I'm not interested in being inside. And, you know, I don't speak very good Spanish. I don't care about the the clerks and all the, you know, what's going on inside the store. I just like being outside, grabbing shopping carts, talking to people. Hey, how you doing? Can I get that for you? Do you need a cart? You know, and just making sure the people don't have to walk out into the parking lot to, you know, get a shopping cart. And because I used to charge my phone there too.
Yeah.
And I panhandle in the morning, but I tried to show that I had some initiative, you know, that I was willing to work outside in the heat and everything. I didn't care. I just wanted a job. But I filled out an application and I told the manager, I was like, I don't have what you're looking for. I don't have any work history. You know, I can give you name, address, and a phone number, and one reference, and that's it. Oh, okay, sure, we'll process your application. We'll have somebody call you in a week. Ain't nobody call me back, man. So I got pissed off and went inside and told them how I felt. And, well, there went my job, like I was going to get one anyway.
Yeah. But, so speaking of jobs, we talked earlier, and then we came up with a little plan for and a little investment, a little small, low-risk investment that a lot of the suppliers I've already have, like an ice chest and starting a water business.
Yeah.
Along with playing your future drum set.
Well, I think maybe we should start with the water business first.
Definitely.
That's kind of like the first baby step, and see how that goes. Because I really don't think Casa Grande has ever seen a homeless guy standing on a street corner selling water. You know, it's just something there. They're used to going into the grocery store or, the whatever store that they frequent and buying a $5 bottle of Smart Water or whatever, you know. It don't matter to me, though. I'll get out and hustle it, man. You know, shit.
Well, let's see what happens, man. Let's run it and see what happens.
Yeah.
So we'll get that. We'll get that in the works. Along with that, you know, we kind of talked about your treatment and trying to get sober off the alcohol and cut back on it. And I think we came up with a pretty good plan to cut back.
Yeah.
And that's to use medical marijuana to transition off of the alcohol.
Yeah.
Now, from what I heard, you know, you got to kind of taper down off the alcohol. So being that you typically drink, 6 to 9 beers a day? Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. And that's not 12-ounce beers. We're talking 24-ounce beers.
Yeah.
So, what's a realistic goal to focus on as far as tapering down, like? Like, what do you think?
Smoking a lot of weed.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're gonna smoke the weed in place of the alcohol, but you got it. Are you gonna just try to cold turkey the alcohol, or are you gonna try to cut back a little bit?
No, you can't cold turkey alcohol. With the way I've been, consuming beer the last 3 months I've been here. You know, I wake up with the DTs and
when you say DTs, what is that?
What that is
what is DT? Well, first off, what does DT stand for?
Delirium tremens. And basically, what it is that after a long day of drinking, when you wake up, you shake. Like, it could be 80 degrees out here, and you shake. You feel nauseous. There's a good potential of having seizures. My first cigarette in the morning, I choked the hell out of it, man. It makes me just like cough really bad. And then you start feeling nauseous, and then you start dry heaving. Your nose starts to snot. Eyeballs start to water. And man, there's mornings where, well, mostly every morning where when I smoke my first cigarette of the morning, I start choking on it. I got to get on my hands and knees and basically dry heave. The only thing that comes out of your face is spit and snot and eyeballs water. That's it. And it's a real shitty feeling.
Okay.
Because you're an alcoholic, in order to make them shakes go away, and start feeling somewhat normal, you gotta drink. And it's a never ending cycle.
Okay. So why don't we try this? So you typically, earlier you told me you typically buy 3 beers every time you go to the store.
Yep, I do now.
Why don't you cut back and every time you go to the store, buy 1 beer and try to stretch that beer as far as you can.
Well, the reason why I buy 3 is so
you can get the deal.
If you go into the store multiple times, like you go into the store in the morning, you buy 1 beer.
Yeah.
It takes you like an hour or so to drink that beer. And then you go into the same store and you buy another beer, and it takes an hour to drink that beer. And then you go into the store and buy another beer, and it takes an hour to drink that beer. Eventually, the store is going to be like, sorry, you're cut off, man. We're not going to sell you any more beer. So why not just go into the store one time and buy 3 fucking beers and go find some place to sit and you know, drink 3 beers over the course of 3 or 4 hours. That way,
let me ask you this. So before you were drinking on a regular, you're drinking about 6 to 9 24-ounce beers a day. What if you think 3 beers would get you through the day?
3 beers will get me through about half a day. But if I smoke weed, it's going to do the same thing. I'm just going to, because I got to the point where this society right here, man, it's dangerous to cross the street. It's dangerous to ride a bike on a sidewalk. So it's just as easy for me to, let's say like tomorrow morning, you know, I got 1 beer for when I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I got another beer for when I'm going to wake up at 6 or 7. Because I'm over here close to downtown, so I go to the store over here. They open up at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'll go get me three beers. That'll last me till about, you know, maybe about 12, 1 o'clock. And I take a nap in the afternoon. That way I don't have to mess with society and them being in a hurry to go wherever they're going. Worried about getting run over by my bicycle. It's good for me. It's an escape. I don't have to deal with people and what they think or where they're going or whatever. I'm asleep and you know, I'm peaceful. That's kind of why I like kind of like this time of night, man. There's hardly anybody out. I don't have to worry about anybody running me over while I'm crossing the street. Yeah. You know, and it's like, okay. And at night, it's nice and quiet. Especially like between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, man, there's nobody out. I mean, everything's closed. There's no traffic. I make sure, you know, I got plenty of food for if I wake up and, you know, I got the munchies, I can, you know, nibble on a little something and make it through the night. And then, man, my day starts at 3 a.m. And I'm up till about 1 or so in the afternoon, maybe 2, sometimes 3, like today. I woke up at 3:30 this morning and, you know, I watched a little bit of TV. You know, I went back to bed about 4 and, woke up at, 6 o'clock and, I had to hang on, but hey, I had my beer to carry me through, so that was cool.
So what we're gonna, I mean, I don't know what to call this kind of treatment. What we're gonna try, we're gonna try to replace the alcohol with medical marijuana to, you know, just it's kind of like trading one drug for another drug, but it's in the sense that, you know, we're using this as medical marijuana and not, you know, meth or heroin or, you know, alcohol.
Fuck,
you know,
all that.
Like, we're not really, you know, we're more trying to harm reduce, you know, create harm reduction. And, you know, who knows, man? I mean, a lot of people, I think medical marijuana is amazing. And, you know, I think it does amazing. I think it used correctly, it does amazing things. And, you know, I'm totally for it. You know, we got to meet you where you're at. Any other kind of treatment center would kind of neglect this idea, and you know, you'll kind of be screwed out of having to do things their way. Which, I mean, in your past, you tried and it didn't work because it just it wasn't the proper treatment. You know, they weren't meeting you where they wanted you. They put up these barriers and these red tapes to, yep, stop you from becoming sober and getting off of the alcohol, which is a way stronger drug than marijuana could ever be. Yep. And, you know, it's just, I feel like we got to meet you where you're at. You told me that if you smoke weed or you get marijuana in your system, you know, you believe that's going to help you stop using alcohol. And, I mean, I'm down to try it, man. Let's try it and see what happens. I mean, everything else hasn't worked up to this point. So, I mean, I believe that, you know, if we try this, it could possibly works, you know, we might be onto something.
Well, like we discussed before, You know, I was drinking three cases of beer a day, and me and my girl were at each other's throat. I bought a set of drums and turned a horse barn into almost like a recording studio. And every time I wanted to drink, well, I had the trailer. That's when I had the trailer. But every time I wanted to drink a beer, man, I just roll a joint and smoke a joint instead of a beer. And I did like they do at AA, man. I was drinking like three pots of coffee a day, and it was okay with me. I was just like, I felt better. You know, of course, I was wired out my ass because I was drinking so much coffee, but
yeah,
at least I didn't have to pay 25 cents a cup if you're like at an AA meeting or something, you know. But yeah, I drank a lot of coffee, and man, I smoked a lot of pot. But I drank almost three cases of beer for 2 years straight, man. It was just like, god damn, I felt like shit. But when I started smoking pot, I was like, okay, I had to get myself in that frame of mind of, okay, I want to drink a beer, no dumbass, make a pot of coffee and smoke some weed. Okay, cool. And I was cooking. I like to cook, man. I like to come up with all kinds of crazy stuff. I'd much rather smoke weed than drink beer, man. I mean, beer ain't no different than heroin, man. It's just, it comes in a can, and it only costs you $2.50. I've never done heroin, but I've seen heroin addicts. And when them people wake up in the morning, they are sick. They got to have a shot. You know, they got to have that first thing to make them right. And there's no difference than that in alcohol. I feel the same way. If I've been drinking all damn day, and, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm shaking, I'm feeling sick, doing whatever you do, I got to have a beer. There's really no difference between heroin and alcohol other than the fact that you can overdose on heroin. The only way that I know of you're going to die on alcohol, and if there's somebody out there that can correct me if I'm wrong, is if you're going through the DTs and you have a seizure. I've only had one. And, you know, but it's every time I wake up in the morning and, you know, I smoke that first cigarette and I start dry heaving. It's like the first thought in my mind is, man, please don't have a seizure, because I'm not going to, there's nobody here that's going to help me.
Yeah. So what's a realistic plan to go tomorrow for us to try to reach? Because I want to track this, and I want to, you know, I want to show you your progression, man. I want to show you that you can do this, because I believe you can do it. You know, like I said,
I know I can do it. It's just there's no.
I got you. Don't worry about that. We're gonna get that all set up and everything, and
yeah,
man. We're gonna focus on getting a CW sober off the alcohol, and you know, starting your own little water business, and I'm excited to see what's to come, because I believe with the right state of mind and the right mindset, a sober mind, you're gonna think a lot differently, man. You're gonna see things a little bit different, and you're gonna give yourself 100%. You know, you're gonna have 100% of yourself back, where you're able to, where before, you know, once you get once you get to a certain tipsy level of the day or your DTs kick in, you know, you're only sometimes only a shell of yourself. So I'm excited to see what's to come, man. And like I said, see the progression and see everything with the growth of this podcast and having you on the show as a co-host. You know, that's all exciting in itself as well, because this is something new to me as well. You know, I never had a consistent co-host.
Okay.
That's one. And I've been doing this for like 3 years now. I've had plenty of people come on the show and, you know, but I've never had I've done more shows and I have more hours with you in 2 weeks of knowing you than I have had, you know, with anybody consistent. But so I'm excited myself to have you as my co-host. At the moment, I'm trying to book things with all my coworkers and friends of the shows, like the Silent Warrior Chronicles team.
Who's that?
They're from California. They're in the Desi girl who I had on my show a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fuck her title up, but she's a social worker pretty much in the mental health field or behavior health field. And California got different terminologies for it, but, and she's also worked in Matt Services in a methadone clinic before. So she's kind of done kind of some of the work that I've done and do. Right. And, you know, but it's just great to have another mind on it. I haven't met her co-host yet, but I heard she's amazing. And you know, I've listened to enough of her podcast that, you know, they know they're very knowledgeable. And I'm just curious on you know, their thoughts of everything and you know, them listening to the show and kind of following along. And because like I said, everybody I know, I've been kind of just throwing this at them and just, yo, check out my new buddy, my new co-host, check out my podcast, you know, check out my boy Paul Walsh Kenny over here, man. This guy's hilarious and got tons of knowledge and sounds good on the radio. And you know, he's a cool man, and you know, he's going through it, but a lot of people are going through it. And it's about trying to find that baseline where we can start fresh and maybe try something different, some kind of other type of treatment that you're not used to having. And most of these treatment centers out here don't really specialize in. And, you know, a lot of times they lose a lot of people back to the streets because of all the red tape that comes along with their facilities and standards and practice. So I think we're going to be a little unorthodox, but I feel like, you know, I'm going to always provide the resources as long as you're the driver, you know, and you're willing to drive, or, you know, I'm going to definitely lead the way and you know, whatever you're down for as far as that has to do with keeping you sober, you know, I'm definitely with it, man. I want to see I would love to see you get out of these streets, man. I would love to see it. And it's gonna take work, but I believe 100% that you can do it.
Well, it's kind of and I just had this crazy idea. I'll share that with you in a minute. You can take the boy out of the street, but you can't take the street out of the boy.
Yeah.
And you know, and people are you know, book smart, but they're not street smart. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of a little bit of both. I read up on stuff and, but you remember that building we were standing out in front of talking about, when I was playing the sticks on the sidewalk?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I don't know how it works in Arizona. I'm sure permits are a bitch and they cost a lot of money. But let's open a dispensary.
that would be an amazing location for a dispensary. Like,
damn right, dude.
and I think this town is already outgrowing just having one dispensary, and I think they definitely need another dispensary. And you know, that helps with the prices too. You know, right now, I feel like dispensaries are still overpriced. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like they got to get better. The same way they use insurance to lower some of these other bills, they need to allow you to use your insurance to get medical marijuana. I feel like that would help a lot of people because.
Well, if that house you're talking about out on Trickle has got a lot of land. Hey, man, how you doing? Get the fuck away from me, you fucking thieving ass motherfucker. If that house out there on Trickle has, like, let's say a lot of land that you can grow stuff on, let's grow pot.
Yeah. I mean, they used to grow something there, and it's definitely a lot of land. Like,
yeah.
I'm telling you, it's probably like a 1,500 square foot house, if even that.
Wow.
On almost a quarter mile square.
Damn, that's a lot of land.
A lot of land, yeah. No, it's a lot of fucking land.
Yeah.
And it goes down a quarter mile one way, and then goes down another quarter mile, and then goes back a quarter mile.
Damn, dude, that's a lot of land.
It's a lot. It's huge. It's
how
huge.
How much are they selling an acre of land for though in Arizona? That's the thing.
Depends, man. You can find in some spots you can find an acre of land for less than $5,000.
That's expensive.
You find
fuck it, that. That's expensive, man. $5,000 for an acre.
I mean, so you can find it. Good you can Lord. Find it for cheap. You can find. I found it for cheaper right now. Land right. Is definitely cheaper than a house right now. So, just kind of depends. And in Casa Grande, it's probably a little bit more than that. Maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't really looked at the land prices, but I did notice next to Walmart, around the Walmart area, there's a lot of land for sale.
Are you talking about down Florence here?
Mm-hmm. Yep, down on Florida. That's another thing. Casa Grande needs another. It needs another Walmart down here.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Walmart sucks. Everything in Walmart is made in China, and it sucks. It doesn't last a minute. What we need is something. No, check this out, dude. What we need is another skateboard shop where we grow weed out in the back of the lot and sell skateboards and bands and cool-ass T-shirts and weed. You know what I'm saying? So you come in and buy a skateboard, get yourself a nice pair of Vans, buy a cool T-shirt, and pick yourself up, an eighth or so for, you know, don't charge the $60, man. Here's the thing. The state of Arizona, their weed prices are extremely expensive. That place I was telling you about, Jamestown, they're gonna sell you an eighth for $60. Now I can go get almost a half ounce in California for $60, and the guy delivers.
Yeah.
So for 14 grams, I can get 14 grams for, what's half 150, $75. Yep. And, wouldn't it be nuts? It would be. You could have a skateboard shop that sold cool-ass t-shirts, skateboards and all the, you know, trucks and wheels and bearings and everything, and then sold weed at the same time. Ah, man, I bet this, man, we'd have to build another parking lot, because like I told you earlier, this Cold Cuts place, man, they're busy all the way around. This place is packed.
Yeah, that building is a good location for something. I mean, it's only a matter of time before it gets filled. But I mean, regardless, I want to still try to bring resources to Casa Grande.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, if it's working with anybody that wants to help, I'm with it. You know, I don't mind doing the groundwork and trying to help people. Get into the correct services that they need. And like for you, for instance, you know, you've tried many different services and treatment centers and detox centers and you know that they just never fit the curriculum that you needed to progress in there. And I think, like I said, man, I think I have a good feeling that we're gonna at least help you get sober. You know, like I know you said, you know, you could take the person out the streets, but you can't take the streets out the person. But, you know, we don't want to take the streets out of you, man. Maybe we just want to try to get you into a better living situation so that your bike ain't getting stolen, or, you know, your shit, or you don't have to worry about your shit getting stolen and where you're going to sleep at. And, you know, and you know, we're going to start this own, you know, start you up as a little starter business so that, you know, you start getting those entrepreneur skills you know, who knows where this is going to go, man, but it's definitely pointing in the right direction, you know, compared to a couple weeks ago, you know, when, you know, things still happen. Things still happen, like your bike getting stolen, and you getting in a fight and a ticket all in the same couple of days from each other. But you know, that's shit called life, right there, man. That shit happens to everybody.
Yeah, but I don't like to fight, man, and I see no justification of, you know, swapping fists.
And I agree, man. You're smarter than that. You don't need a fight. You know. You know what you're gonna do? You're gonna get yourself out of these streets, and you know, you're gonna look back one day and look and say, "Damn, like I remember I was sleeping on that fucking corner right there. I remember going into that store right there on my bicycle and coming out, the shit was gone. I remember getting a ticket over there. I remember having to plug my phone in right there. I remember doing the Nasty Backpack podcast right there next to that podcast. You know what I mean? I think if you stick with me, man, we're going to figure this shit out. But it can only go up, you know. We're doing a lot of great things here. You know, we're helping you get sober. We're helping society hear these podcasts. And you know, before this, I didn't know you, man. I didn't know you 2 weeks ago.
Nope.
And
that you did.
Somehow we came across paths, man. And this is what it has come in already, man. I can't wait to see the future, man, because I believe big things are going to happen for us. And, you know, we just got to keep going in the right direction, man, progressing. Let's show the world that this shit's possible, man, because, you know, we're losing our streets, you know? I mean, what's the difference between somebody that sits out there on the curb drinking beer all day than a 16, 17-year-old kid that's partying every night?
You know, well, like I said, man, that 16 or 17 year old kid needs to have you know, a proper life at home. And, man, I can't tell you how many kids I talk to that, you know, they were just like me. They were like 16, 17 years old, and they had a shitty childhood, and they just said, fuck it, and they split. And now they're out here on the street, and, you know, they're turning to meth and fentanyl, and next thing you know, they're 45 years old pushing around six, you know, blankets in a shopping cart, man. You know, and resorting to, you know, stealing other homeless people's stuff, you know, to get their, you know, to get their fix. You know, like I said, it all goes back to respect, man, being respectful. And hey, if we can take a bunch of 16-year-old kids and steer them in the right direction because they got a shitty childhood, hey, I'm down with that, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. Well, y'all heard it. We're definitely gonna focus in on that. And just to recap, you know, treatment. We're gonna start this treatment shit tomorrow, man. First day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. What's our goal? What's our goal gonna be? You know, like we said before, you're drinking anywhere from 6 to 9 a day, and those are 24 ounces. So if you break down the math, you're drinking about what, 18 beers?
No. 18, I ain't drinking 20. That many beers.
No,
I'm drinking. No, I ain't drinking that much, dude.
Well, if you break them down to 12 ounce beers, you're probably drinking about 18 beers.
Okay, well, I'm not that good at math, but
because you're drinking the 24 ounces, and you're drinking from anywhere from 6 to 9.
Yeah.
You know, double it up, you drink about 18. It's anywhere from 12 to 15, 12, 15, 18.
So all that tells me is I'd be better off to buy a six-pack.
Well, shit, if you can make a six-pack last you the whole day, I think that's a success for tomorrow.
Nah, I'm not going to do it, man. I got...
Have you tried? You should try that, though. You should try it with a six-pack and just see where it gets you, man. We got to take baby steps, you know? Like, try to make that same beer, try to make it last you an hour.
My beers do last me an hour, but
yeah, but that's a 24 ounce beer. Let's try making a 12 ounce beer last an hour.
Excuse me, I'm chewing on an egg roll. That's not gonna work because if I buy it, like when I go to Food C, they got six packs of
try a 12 pack. Let's go with the 12 pack.
No,
I'll even take a 12 pack as a success.
How about we try this? How about
because you're gonna have the medical marijuana tomorrow, so you're gonna be able to you're not gonna have to drink as much.
Well, so good.
I think a 12 pack might get you to the day, and I think that's a good goal to have.
I don't want a 12 pack, man. I want some weed. I ain't gonna lie to you. Bring me weed.
We'll figure it out, man. We'll figure it out. But we're gonna cap it out right there. It's been a great show. You know, it's Nasty Backpack Podcast. We out.
All right, man.
Have a good night, man.
One last request.
What's that?
Okay. Yeah,
my little ones just got here.
Okay.
But
she sounds wonderful.
She is. She's amazing.
I want to talk to these other folks that you've been.
You want to?
You got your hands full. Yeah. I want to talk to these other folks that you've been telling me about, man. You know, get on their podcasts and whatnot.
You know what? I'm gonna when I edit this, I'm gonna put that right there in a snippet. I'm gonna send it to each and every one of them. And not all of them have podcasts. You know, but I have a lot of them. I have a lot of them that I want to get on our show, and just kind of pick their brains, let them ask the questions that, you know, because it's not every day that they talk to somebody from the streets and somebody that's been living in the streets for 32 years, you know. So,
all right,
you know, it's good having somebody that's in the field and on the ground. And
well, I'd like to. Well, because I'm always interested in other people's, you know, way of thinking. I'm not trying to get in their head or anything, but just kind of see like where they're coming from, yeah. And then you know, just conversate back and forth, and you know, just share ideas, agree to disagree. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So
man.
I would really enjoy talking to these other people that you know, and if they're interested, great. If not, they can come out to Paul of Lambert at 520-560-2256.
If y'all can talk to me in person. All my friends that work in the field, open invitation to come to the Nasty Backpack Podcast or whatever the platform is. We'll be more than happy to jump on it. But
as Anthrax says in a song, baby, bring the noise, man. What you got?
Bring
the noise, man. I'm up for it.
There it is. All right. Well, you have a good night, my homie, and we'll talk again soon.
I hope so, my friend.
All right, man. Have a good night.
All right.